So we welcome you. We welcome those that are tuning in this morning from around the country, Facebook. I believe today is going to be a fresh day of revelation, truth, and strengthening and empowering. And if you've come prepared, you're in the right place. Amen? Amen. We know what the Bible says. When they saw Jesus casting out demons and devils, it wasn't his body that complained. It was the Pharisees, the religious crew. They said, this guy must be casting them out by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And of course, Jesus, I just envision him smiling as he laid out a truth. He says, a kingdom divided cannot stand, and the devil knows that. So he's not going to attack and do something good when he's into kill, steal, and destroy. But the challenge that we learn out of that is that if the enemy can keep this house divided, we crumble. But the opposite of that is staying united. A house united can't fall the way I see it. Amen. So as the enemy's working overtime to break you down, you need to realize he loses. Amen?
That's right.
There was a scripture that I shared, and I just want to lay that out this morning to you. And it's the one that talks about righteous men and women of God. I don't even know if it's in today's notes, but in Proverbs 29:2, let me paraphrase a little bit. When righteous men and women of God are ruling and reigning and operating in authority in their region, the people in that region will brighten up, cheer up, and be made glad and merry. Amen? And the opposite of this, which I found interesting that you that gather on Monday nights in your cell group found and brought to my attention, and I want to lay that out because it's a good scripture. Out of Psalms 112, verse 8 says this. Now, we talked about when righteous in authority. Let me show you what happens when the principalities and powers of darkness and those that are allowing the enemy to use them. It says this in verse 8. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the people of God. Now listen, I use the New King James Spirit-filled Bible that breaks down, and you got many greats throughout that put their input. And they break it down and they say it like this. This Bible was written back in the 1970s or translated back then. So it's not outdated. Amen? The Bible says, the wicked prowl. Crimes increase in cities where immorality is promoted or flaunted by civic leaders, elected officials, or media personalities. You tell me that's not what we're dealing with now in America, but I'm telling you the media and there's personalities that are flaunting immorality. And the church is going to shine brighter than bright, because as dark as it can be, when you light up one man or woman of God, there's a brightness, and the earth is crying out, all creation, for us to arise and take back our communities, our areas, our cities for Jesus. Amen?
Amen,
praise God. Amen. I want to bring something that I believe there's too much confusion in the body of Christ today. And I want to get to a place of judging. You know, you hear that word, and I would ask, if you ask most believers, if they said, is judging good or bad, most would say it's bad. And because they don't know the Bible.
Right.
Or they only know the bits and pieces that have been misquoted.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing good or bad. So in order for me to present this, which is going to be, I believe, very freeing to a body that's hungry and thirsty to grow and to be stronger for God.
Amen.
You want this dimension in your life. Now, I've told you many times, as much as we're wondering why we don't have thousands of people because we believe what God is releasing here is great, there are not thousands that want to not just free themselves but be used, get armed, and dangerous to free others. Because in order to free others, you've got to be free yourself, and then you've got to be willing not just to rapture out of here, but want to make a difference in other people's lives, which includes your community, which includes your neighbors, which includes your church, but it also includes your cities. As the city goes, so goes the valley. The city of Saginaw is in the heart of our county. As Saginaw goes, so goes the community. Thank God that Saginaw is going for Jesus. Thank God that we got believers this morning gathering in different places, are praying and believing God. But I want you to understand this. Normal is a word that we use throughout. That's not normal, or this, it isn't normal anymore. The definition of normal is conforming to a standard that's usual, typical, or expected. That's what normal is. It's a standard that's been established by communities that it's what regular or most people are doing. Biblical is contained in the Bible, the Word of God. Now, let's go and take a look at just our lifespan of my 60-some years and yours maybe less if you're a teenager. But, oh, you're all not teenagers? Examples how normal has changed. It used to be normal to have two parents in the home. That's a good thing. But you know that's not normal anymore. In fact, they said those that are incarcerated, 95% or more of them did not have a strong father in their home. Amen. Is that God's best? No. Does he love them any less? No. But it's the reality that it's not normal anymore to have a two-family mom and dad loving God in that household. Is it normal? Normally, it used to be families ate together. When I grew up, we had to wait for dad to get home from work before we ate. Mom would get upset at times. Oh, where's he at? My gosh, we're getting hungry. That's not the norm anymore. It's not normal for the whole family to sit down and eat. Used to be normal for the family to go to church together. Do you know they say there are more believers that don't go to church than go to church? So it's not normal anymore. And we know the Bible says as that time looks near, don't forsake coming together. And those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. So we still have to challenge people, even though we know people are frustrated, turned off, and don't want too much to do with church life. And I'm not saying that they don't love the Lord. I'm just saying it's not normal for Christians to rise and be excited to go to church as a family. Used to be normal not to swear or curse in public. Amen? I grew up, that wasn't, you hardly ever heard. Trust me, it's not normal anymore. Normal for a wife and husband to stay married. And they say over 50% of Christian marriages aren't staying. Now, you need to listen to me. There's nothing I'm going to share today that's not talking about we love people where they're at. We do not hate people. We do not condemn people. But we have to deal with truth. The truth is God says that mom and dad would be the ones they'd leave the kids. They would be joined and they would be happily ever going to church and living for God and it would be great. Not normal like that anymore. And it used to be normal that when you talked about marriage, it was one woman for one man. But because society has progressed. Let me just give you a scripture, and I think I gave this to you out of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus is today the same as he was yesterday. He'll be the same tomorrow. We do not serve a progressive Jesus. He didn't all of a sudden get revelation. Oh, I missed that. Now we need to look at it in this light. No, the Bible has not changed. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, he'll be the same tomorrow. So going to the normal dimension, if normal is good when it's biblical. Well, when abnormal or anti-Bible comes in, it's bad normal. So as the church wakes up, they realize, I'm not looking to be normal anymore. But I am going to stay biblical. And I am going to love people. Whether or not they choose to stay biblical or not. See, the division the enemy wants to use against the church is get you, because you take a stand on the Bible, that you're not a lover or you're a judger. I'm here to tell you that judging is not a dirty word. Amen. And you're going to hopefully get revelation to this in the fullness of the Bible as we go into it this morning. Times have changed. People are not the same. They are supposedly got newness and revelation. That's could be tracked any place in the Bible. When people begin to get carnal and begin to stray away from the word, hell fell and broke loose. We are not normal, church, but we're super normal. Yeah. We're filled with the power of God. Yes, look with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. I want to read this in the context of how it's stated. This is New Testament. This is Paul training up a Timothy that was going to face a lot of people as he's girding them up to get them saved and then empower them. And this is what he tells Timothy to make sure you understand. And I'm going to paraphrase it because I'm going to render the Greek. If you got the Amplified version, I don't, but it breaks down the Greek word in English. We'll put one word, and we'll call that word, let's say, perilous. But let me just tell you all the other parts of what that fits. And this is what the word says. Paul's telling Timothy, know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Everybody look at me. You know we've talked about Isaiah 60. Darkness will cover the earth. Gross darkness will be on the people. But there's a glory that's going to get on the church. Amen? Would you say, before I read any more, would you say we're living in a pretty perilous time? This is what it actually says. But know this, that in the last days, harsh, savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce, grievous, hard to deal with, there'll be a society running rampant that will be barren of virtue, but they'll be abounding in all kinds of vices. That explains to me a whole lot more than just perilous. We've got a carnal society that's trying to dictate to the church what is normal. Right. What is normal is what's in the Word of God, and He changes not. We are not haters of people, but we are haters of principalities and powers of darkness. And we take a stand against them, and if we don't know better, we learn so we do better. One of my favorite scriptures in Romans chapter 12, Paul now is ministering to the Christians in Rome. And he's telling them to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. He didn't say die. He says you're living, but you got to sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God. It's just reasonable. But verse 2 really says it all. Here you go, church. Be not conformed to the world, but get transformed by getting your minds renewed so that you can be perfect, lacking nothing. We are not to get more like the world or more like what's normal now. We're to stay biblical and not be a part of the world. But we're here to change the world. Because darkness flees light, and we are filled with the light of Christ. Amen? So, we realize that. It's not the most prettiest picture out there in the public. And even that I read out of Psalms 12. I'm telling you, when officials and people that we should be able to look to for help are spewing things that are anti-Bible, we Christians have to wake up. Yep. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew, one of the favorite scriptures I hear quoted all the time out of whack. Chapter 7. Begin 1, or verse 1. My caption above it says, do not judge. And more Christians fall into this category that if any correction is ever being brought to a brother or sister, don't you judge me. Can you imagine how church would be? I could never get up here and give you the truth because you'd feel judged. Come on. Seriously. Right. Amen. This is what it says in the actual rendering, and you can use your version. Judge not that you be not judged. If we stop there, we'll think, oh my gosh, we don't want to judge because we don't want to be judged. Verse 2 says, for with what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged with the same measure back to you that you gave out.
Right.
Look at me before we go any further. If we're walking and living biblical for the Lord God, are we afraid that we're going to be judged by that?
No.
That should be just a pat on the back. Way to go, boys and girls. This is how it's explained in the context in which it's given. Verse 3, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and you do not consider the plank in your own eye?
Exactly.
This sounds like he's having people look at themselves before they look at others. Verse 4 says, or how can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck in your eye, and you look, there's a plank in your own eye. Hypocrites. First, remove the plank from your own eye, then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Right.
It didn't say we're not supposed to point out when brothers and sisters in the Lord are faltering. It says you better take a good look at yourself and get your own life in order before you start correcting others. And let me give you a little key thing out of Proverbs. When you rebuke a brother in the Lord, you gain them. If you try to correct a fool, the Bible says you drive him further away. I have never in all the years had it just one way or the other, but I'm going to tell you, many of you in here know you've been in my office and I've brought correction, I've brought encouragement to you, and I'm here to say as I look out here, most all of you said, thank you, Pastor. You didn't say, oh my gosh, you're judging me, so my God. No, they realize when you love somebody, you want to help them get out of the hole they're digging.
Right.
You don't want to just say there, attaboy, keep digging. Keep being involved in that thing that's destroying your life. Just keep going. That's not love. Open rebuke says, hey, stop digging. Make some corrections in your life. And get stronger so you can help others get out of their holes. So, hypocrites first removed. So the whole emphasis here is look at yourself. You might say, well, that's gospel. You can go to the Galatians chapter 6. It says, when you catch a brother or sister in sin, chapter 6, verse 1, or overtaken in sin, you that are spiritual, restore them with a meek, humble spirit so that you don't fall into that same trap. The essence is, if we want to help people, we've got to help them and not just pat them on the back, keep digging the hole.
Amen.
If you love them. Let me give you an illustration that people like to throw. Well, look at Jesus. Look at the example. The adulterous woman came up. And we use that to fight for an issue that's not even the issue.
Right.
He challenges all those men that were ready to stone this woman that was found in the act of adultery. The act of adultery is like fornication. It's a sexual sin, sex outside the marriage covenant. And what Jesus did after he didn't respond, as he wrote in the sand, he said, he looked at them and he said, you guys that don't have any sin, go ahead, cast the first stone. And what happened? They all dropped their stone. You know what? I believe some of those that dropped the stone were probably adulteresses that had sex with this woman. They realized, how can I correct somebody if I'm all messed up? See, that's what happens in the body of Christ. The ones that are the hardest on people are the ones that got a lot of junk in their lives. We got to work on getting ourselves strengthened. Remember last week when I shared in James 3, don't many of you be teachers because you'll be at a higher level of judging. In other words, if you're going to be helping straighten out people, you better have your life in order so you don't become a hypocrite. I always like when you're pointing your finger at somebody, there's three of them, three barrels pointing back at you. Make sure you're evaluating and you're doing what you got to do. When they dropped those stones, now listen. And he asked them, where's your accusers? And she says, They're not here. Jesus says, and I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more. He instilled, after he brought correction to the group of hypocrites, he brought comfort, encouragement. He wanted her, and we know what happened. She's the one that wouldn't leave the tomb. We know it changed her life. Yes. We're to change lives, but before we can change lives, we got to make sure we're willing to change our lives.
Good word.
Yep. I'd rather see a Christian than hear one.
Yes. Good word,
go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians, messed up bunch of believers. This is to Christians. And if you haven't been freed yet, this will free you. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to begin at verse 9. And my topic says, immorality must be judged. Now, everybody look at me again. When we begin to judge somebody, what have we learned from Jesus' teaching? We need to do what with our own life first? Evaluate yourself and get the plank out of our own eyes so we will be helpful to help others get it out of theirs. We didn't say anything about condemning. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, and that's how we operate. No condemnation. We don't hate people, but if we want to help people, we got to give them Bible. And the Bible is the truth. And the truth is what makes people free, not the norm. What everybody's doing now, well, Pastor, God back then, nowadays, it's just like free, we do what... God hasn't changed. And the devil's trying to use that to get us to change. And that's why the Lord says, do not be conformed to this world, but get transformed by the renewing of your mind. Verse 9, very important that you get this. Highlight it, underline it. I'm going to read down through 13. Paul says, I'm writing to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Everybody look up at me before I go any further. There's a lot of sexually immoral people out there, right? Actually, in the church, too. Now, I'm going to make this very clear. If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you want to and be an idiot, you're still going to go to heaven if Jesus Christ is your Lord. But you're going to have hell on earth. And God never intended us to have hell on earth, but we do when we implement things that are not Bible. Well, it's normal. It's not normal. It's normal to them, but it shouldn't be normal to us. Do not keep company with sexually immoral people. And this is what Paul says. I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of the world or with covetous or extortioners or idolaters of the world, since then you'd have to leave the world. So he's telling them, I'm not talking about worldly people. I'm not talking about those that aren't born again. Listen, look at me, church. It's a proven statistic. Over 95% of the media out there are atheists. And yet they're projecting more information than any other place, and the church has believed it. Faith has come, and they believe what they're saying is true. I'm telling you, if they're not born again, they don't have the truth. They don't know the truth. It's not in them. Because when you get born again, you get a new created, and the Holy Ghost comes in and keeps you. Now, you can choose to listen to that junk, or you can get freed.
Amen.
And when the Son makes you free, someone says, how do you bounce around and jump and so forth? Because I'm free, and no one's going to take that.
Amen.
Kingdom peace and joy is not something man takes away from you, but you can give it up. Because the peace that passes natural understanding and the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's a kingdom release you got when you got saved.
Amen.
I will not give my joy or my peace up for anybody. Especially some atheist media that's just trying to present a narrative that's so out of whack according to the Word of God. Stay with me. What verse am I on? 11, but now I'm writing to you not to keep company with anyone that's called a brother in the Lord or sister in the Lord who is sexually immoral or is covetous or they're an idolater or not even to eat with that person. Look at me, church. Oh my gosh, that's judging. We are to judge the body of Christ. But you don't judge somebody you don't have a relationship with. If you have a relationship with somebody and they know you have their good, you can sit down and have a hard, tough dialogue on helping them get out of their ditch. What happens is, and that's why I'm not on Facebook, because I don't want to see all the junk, because I'm not willing to sacrifice myself in that way when I know most of them don't want to change. When somebody wants to change, Pastor, I keep falling in a hole. What am I doing? Let's take a look. And most of those that take a look want to get out of their situation and be better to help others. When I shared that out of Joshua 6, there's an armed and ready group that's going to go before the presence of the Lord because they know he's with them to take out the enemy. The walls are going to fall down. He said the gathering hosts are going to come in and occupy. We're going to set the captives free. Verse 12 says, now I'm writing to you not to keep company with anyone that's named a brother or sister in the Lord that's immoral. It says, don't even eat with them. For what have I to do, listen, with judging those who are outside the church? Do you not judge those that are inside? So as believers, we're supposed to judge the inside. But before we judge the inside, we better be taking a good long look at our own lives. So we don't begin those that are going to stone somebody caught in a sexual immoral sin. We have never in all the life that we've been 30 years ministry ever kicked anybody out because they lived in a certain type of home life. Because we're always believing that they're going to get to that place and get a truth, and they're going to line their family up with the truth. But I'm not going to compromise and say this is God's way if it's not biblical. And you don't have to hunt most people that have compromised that. Take a look and they know. Exactly. God's forgiving. He's forgiven us from sins he knows we're going to commit in the future. But he doesn't want us in that. He wants us free. And when the Son makes us free, we're free indeed. Amen? What do you want? Shall I come with a rod or in love with a spirit and gentleness? Our whole purpose, church, is to grow people up. But truth is truth. And if somebody really wants to operate in the truth, then they don't mind if they're asking for help to want to know the truth. Right. Not just, listen, a truth. You can pick almost anything you want to involve yourself in and find something that can support what you're doing. But if you want the truth, which is the word with all the facets of it, you will truly know freedom. Amen. Freedom's not a monetary thing. Freedom is not how much stuff I got. Freedom is peace. Amen. To know that my life is open book, God. If there's things in there you don't like, you don't hear me sharing my own personal sins as far as what I eat, don't eat. I'm not looking to put anybody in bondage. That's my own personal convictions. I believe if I'm going to be a good example to others, I've got to be a good example. That's not on you. That's on me. And everybody in here houses the Holy Ghost, and you've got to be a witness. If you want to help others, you need to make sure you're getting yourself together so you got something to offer them that can help them. And if you don't, it's not condemnation. We just got to get better at what we're doing. Hardest time I had as a coach, watching coaches in the locker room puff their cigarettes and yet kicking off players because they smoked. I thought, gosh, something doesn't register right with that. Before, well, age, you know, they're underage and they're on the team. I'm telling you what, God is a God of I am. And before we start correcting others, we have to make sure our life is above board. Amen. Not perfect. Remember the last part, verse 2 of James 3? All of us miss it many times. I haven't arrived. I'll miss it. God will correct me. And then you get back up and you go again. But we get back up. Righteous man falls many times and gets back up. My righteousness is not mine. It's his. I wear his righteousness. And you know yourself, if you want to help your kids, what you're doing is going to speak so loud, they're not going to hear what you're saying if you're all messed up. One thing is I loved, and I did have a healthy father and mother. They did not condemn people that did not have healthy moms and dads, but they instilled in us kids the way we should live according to the Word of God. And years later, all six of us kids stayed married, loved God, all of us about 50 years or more marriage. That doesn't happen. That's not normal anymore. And I'm telling you, there's a generation that's going to change this generational curse upon our children and our grandchildren because they're going to stand up for what's right and live it before they speak it. And that's our mantle. You're being watched. And you're going to be attacked. The closer you get to the Lord, the more people are going to put you under scrutiny. And a bit of wisdom. Before you want to straighten somebody out, number one, make sure you got a relationship with them. And number two, make sure your life has been squared away. So you got something that you can help. You that are spiritual, restore the one that's fallen in meekness and gentleness, lest you be tempted. You think the devil has no teeth? He has teeth. And he's devouring Christians all the time. And there's people that are getting beat up all the time. I'm telling you, draw the line. He's not coming to my household. He's not coming to my church. And determine, I am going to live for God, and I'm going to live by his Bible. And nothing the news media is saying, well, you know, cancel culture. I'm telling you, Jesus is not into canceling culture.
Right.
He created Bible people, and he still wants them. You know what just happened? And I'm not going to save this one for you, Pastor. Tim Tebow won the Heisman Trophy. He is a lover of God. I don't know if it's Facebook or Google. They axed his account. He's doing a Bible study, helping people get stronger with the Bible, and they flagged him as being dangerous. That's how ridiculous it is. The media and them are all in the same box. They're looking to stop Christians, and I'm telling you, no way.
Yeah.
And so they attacked him, and they said, nope, you're dangerous. And until people got word of it, and they came, oh, we made a mistake. We don't buy that for a minute. And in fact, if this message doesn't get out, we know it's not because God don't want it out. But we thank God we already bound the airways.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Church, wherever you're at, take a look. God wants you to grow and get stronger. He's not here to beat you up on anything you've done in the past or what you might even be doing now, but he does want us to change. He's the Lord God that changes not. If we're going to effectively be used as free people, we got to make sure we're operating in a freedom that does not give occasion to the flesh, as Galatians 5 says. You've been free. Who hindered your freedom? It did not come from me. The very element that we've been freed, we're using the freedom of that in Galatians 5 for occasions of feed the flesh. Someone says, well, I'm still going to heaven. Yeah, but don't you want to help people to get out of digging their holes? I just believe it with all my heart that there's a whole bunch of others that don't even realize, but they want to help others. It's just not for you. It's for you setting others free. And the only thing that sets them free is the Word of God. I'm going to close with a couple scriptures that you know, and let me quote them. First one's 1 Peter 4:17. Now listen, for all those that thought judgment was a terrible thing, this is what the Word says. And Peter was a disciple. They got crucified upside down. The time has come for judgment or judging to begin in the house of God. We already know that we've been forgiven of all our sins, but the house of God is where God is looking for them to shape up, and let that begin first there. Now, if we don't want to deal with it, he's got ways. But I'm telling you what, we know how to deal with it. We're all missing it at times. But we're here to help people get on the straight and narrow. So my encouragement, the next time you hear that word, don't judge me. Probably you shouldn't have helped that person because they're not open to be helped. But there are mature Christians that will thank you. Thank you for showing that truth to me. Thank you for leading me along the right way so I don't have to keep falling in that same ditch. Thank you. And so many of you I've watched through 30-some years of this ministry grow up and get stronger and get fortified. Don't stop. We haven't arrived yet. There's still more. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you that we are filled with mighty men and women of God. We thank you that you've given us a standard that's the highest standard to live by. It's called the Bible, the Word of God. I declare that we will become more and more biblical and less normal. We will not be conformed to the world, but we'll be transformed out of the world and get our minds changed. And Father, I pray that anybody that's been beat up and hurt through a brother or sister, that they will learn how to forgive them and get back up and go forth. And we thank you for the power of agreement that's in this room, not only for us, but for those that you're going to cross our paths with, Lord. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. And all of us in agreement said, amen. God bless you. Greet one another. We'll see you next week or before.